RadioArchives.com presents Company of Shadows by Wayne Carey. Read for you by Joe Formicella. Company of Shadows is one of the many audiobooks available from RadioArchives.com.
Chapter 1. The boom from the cannon rocked the valley, echoing across the hills. The vibration traveled through the ground, through my body, and into my soul. 100 birds took flight, crying out as they scattered. Half a mile away, the train whistle blew, announcing the train's approach. It chugged along the tracks that split the rolling fields on its way past the small clump of trees and shrubs that concealed our party. The 6 of us hunkered down behind the brush, with the young maples shading us from the relentless August sun. A pile of old ties further up and on the opposite side of the tracks hid men of Company H. Next to me, Charlie chewed on a dried weed and craned his neck in an attempt to see the train. The weathered brim of his slouch hat hid his eyes. Next to him, Badger slipped off his battered kepi and used a stained red kerchief to wipe the sweat from his broad, bearded face. He shoved a cloth back into the pocket of his faded trousers, a wrinkled corner dangling out as he drew his hand away, then grunted as he crouched his bulk lower. Sam spat a wad of tobacco into the grass and wiped the stubble on his chin to rid his face of the telltale spittle. Daniel cast him an annoyed look, then turned his dark eyes back toward the approaching train. Sunlight glinted off the round lenses of his spectacles. Beside me, Steve stared through the brush at the tracks in front of us. Sweat dribbled down his face in rivulets. His jaw was set in stern concentration, but his fingers tapped the shaft of his musket. He wet his lips with the pass of his tongue, wiped his mouth with the back of his hand, and resumed his nervous tapping. He was only 17 years old, and here he was, crouched in hiding, about to take part in his first train raid. Cannon thundered again, the sound rolling over the mountains rising in our backs. The screech of protesting brakes pierced the humid air and the train began its deceleration. "Ready?" Badger yells. We stood straight and cocked our muskets. "Aim!" The train continued to slow as it passed our concealment. The faces of passengers peered out the windows. A heavy woman in a blue bonnet passed under my sight. Her wide eyes scanned the vegetation and caught sight of us now only partially hidden. I moved the barrel of my Enfield along the passenger cars, past women and children, until I found a man in blue uniform. His pale face glared out at me and I felt his eyes pierce through me. Gold straps glistened on his shoulders. As I kept my aim on him, a smile curved his drooping mustache. He wasn't just looking out at the countryside. He was looking directly at me, singling me out from among our troops, as though he could tell I had him under my sights. "Fire!" came Badger's command. Our weapons blasted in one thundering roar, louder than the cannon, stinging my ears. Muzzle flashes flared and smoke rolled out to make a haze that all but obliterated the train. "Reload! Fire at will!" We each were able to get another shot off before the train rolled to a stop. As the smoke curled off on the breeze, I tried to locate the mustached officer. He was gone, his window empty. Badger gave a call and led us on the double toward the train. We clambered up the steps into the middle car amidst startled passengers. Sam, Daniel, and Charlie headed toward the rear of the train. Badger led Steve and me forward. I trailed behind and glanced over the passengers. Between 20 to 30 men and women, with a smattering of assorted children, twisted in their seats to watch us as we made our way down the aisle. After the brightness of the sunlight outside, the passengers were shadowy figures in the gloomy interior of the train. Here sat the heavy-set woman in the blue bonnet, 2 small children with her. The others were civilians in all manner of dress. No military except...